that is on the hearts of our staff specifically this year, I don't know if you've noticed this, is unity. It's togetherness. That's why we've had gatherings after church. We've had these Hawaiian shirt days, and we're going to have Carnival Sunday coming up. And really, what we're striving for right now is togetherness, unity as a church. And then once we can be united as a church, then we go as a church. We go out for the community. We serve. But the main focus of this year has been togetherness. And we also have a core value here at Trinity Church. It's church unity over personal preference. That's one of our core values, church unity over personal preference. And there's many things that I want to achieve today through this message. And I want to focus on one, which is mission. Like I just said, mission statement. This is our mission. This is something that God has called us to be together. So I want you to say our mission statement with me. Ready? Helping people love and follow Jesus. One more time. Helping people love and follow Jesus. Not only is this Trinity's mission, this is your mission. This is your mission as a Christian. And this mission needs to become part of your DNA. It needs to become part of your identity. It needs to become part of who we are as a church. If we can all individually live out this mission, we can also live out this mission as a church together. So let's talk about it. Where do we really get this mission statement from in the Bible? Well, the scripture reference that we have in our bylaws, and the one that we've agreed upon, is Ephesians. It's found in the book of Ephesians. Now, you don't have that in your sermon insert, so if you have your Bible, or if you have your phone, there's a Bible in front of you, we want to go to Ephesians. It's halfway through the New Testament, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 7 to 21 for you. And you'll get an idea where this helping people love and Jesus, follow Jesus came from. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 21. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul talking, or writing. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I want to use this passage to answer a question. How do we help people love and follow Jesus? How do we help people love and follow Jesus? Well, I'm going to answer this question through three types of relationships that we need to have. There's an up relationship, there's an in relationship, and there's an out relationship. The first one is we need to have an up relationship with God. Right? We kind of view God as up, right? He's the creator. He's out there somewhere. We need to have an up relationship with God. We need to have an in relationship with other believers. We need to have an in relationship with other people that believe in Jesus. We're all Christians. We should be unified. We should be together. And then we need to have an out relationship with non-believers. We need to have an out relationship with our community, with our families, with people that don't know Jesus. So let's start with up. An up relationship with God is having a reverence for God. You know, you hear in the Old Testament the fear of God, having a fear of God. It's not necessarily being scared of God. It's about being in awe of God, of His powers, of His characteristics. And once we revere God, then we must learn about God. Once we have this reverence for God, we want to learn about God. And we want to discover reasons why we should revere Him, why we should appreciate Him, why we should respect Him. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 21. Verse 7 tells us that God is gracious. God is filled with grace. And He's also powerful. Verse 9 says that He is the creator of all things, not just us, the creator of the universe. Verse 10 tells us that He has a rich variety of wisdom. In fact, He has all wisdom. He is omniscient. Verse 11 tells us that God is eternal. He is the reason why our souls are eternal. He created eternity. Verse 12 tells us that we can come into His presence, that He allows us to come into His presence. Verse 15 tells us again that God is the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Verse 16 tells us that He has glorious and unlimited resources, that there is nothing He can't do. It also says that He gives us His Spirit to empower us and to strengthen us. Verse 18 explains the width, the length, the height, and depth of God's love, which if you read the rest of the Bible, it's unconditional. We did nothing to earn it. He loves us. It's everlasting. It's eternal, and it is without prejudice. God does not choose who to love and who not to love, like humans tend to do. Verse 19 tells us that through Him, through God, we can be made complete with all His fullness of life and power. And verse 20 tells us that He can accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. All these sound like good reasons to me to revere God. The best way to develop a reverence for God is to know God. To know these things, to read passages like this and understand these things about God and what He is willing to do for us. This is the first part of an up relationship. The second part of an up relationship is putting faith in His Son Jesus and what Jesus did for us, what Jesus did on the cross. I want you to notice some key details in this passage. We read that God's endless treasures are available to us in Christ. They're available to us in Christ. That God's endless treasures are in Christ. God's eternal plan was carried out through Christ. That His plan, Jesus had to die on the cross, it was a necessary part of God's plan so that we could be forgiven from our sins. So that we can one day have a place in heaven. Because of Christ and our faith in Christ, we can now boldly and confidently come into God's presence. We can come into God's presence. We can feel His Spirit within us. Because Christ will make His home in our hearts. That's what this passage also says, that Christ will make His home in our hearts as we trust in Him. You see that second part? As we trust in Him. You know, God will do a lot for us, but there's a lot of things that are required on our part as well. And that's developing this trust as we live our lives, as we surrender things to God. And though we can't fully understand it, we can experience the love of Christ in our life. I mean, the amount of love that Christ had for us to come down to earth as a human, to live as a human, to experience human emotions, to cry, to experience sadness, to experience joy, to experience pain, to go through what He went through, that's some powerful love. And we can experience that love when we live for God. Glory is given to God in Christ. I think there's a pattern here. Do you see it? I think Christ has a lot to do with our walk of, or how we walk in our life. So to summarize, everything God offers, He offers His plan. He offers His wisdom, His resources, His treasures, His love, His strength, His grace, His power, and His life. And it's all given to us through Christ. In Christ and because of Christ. These things are available because Jesus restored the gap between God and us. Sin caused a rift in our relationship with God. And Jesus restored that relationship with His death on the cross. But not all humans receive that gift. God loves us. He offers us the gift. But as you know with a gift has to be received. A gift isn't a gift unless it's received. We must put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's how we receive this gift. That's how we boldly and confidently come into the presence of God, because of our faith in Christ. And once we put our faith in Christ, once we make a decision to follow Christ, then we experience the love of Christ. Then we start to feel complete. Then we start to understand the fullness of God. Then we start to feel the power of God in our lives. But we have to make that decision first. So to summarize quickly, to develop an up relationship with God, we need to have a reverence for God, we need to understand God, and we need to put our faith in His Son, Jesus. We also need to learn to live through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. One thing this morning that I was doing on the way here, knowing that I wasn't prepared, knowing that it was a sudden change in plans. I started, asking God, and the Holy Spirit, I really need you for that. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need you to give me the words to say. I didn't have any prayers prepared. I didn't have any sermon prepared. Holy Spirit, I'm relying on you today. And as always, the Holy Spirit came to me. And we need to learn to live through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not all on us. We can use reasoning. We can use logic. We can use our brains. We can use our emotions. But at some point, we also need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because verses 16 to 20 in Ephesians 3 tell us that the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. It gives us inner strength. The Holy Spirit reveals the magnitude of God's love for us. And the Holy Spirit allows God's mighty power to work within us. Once the Holy Spirit performs these actions, we start to feel Christ living at home inside of us. We start becoming more and more like Jesus. Our roots grow down into God's love, and it keeps us strong. Then we become complete. then God can accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think through us. Sometimes we let ourselves hold ourselves. Sometimes we let ourselves hold us back. There's a rap song that I love, a Christian rapper, and he says, "My biggest enemy is me." The devil is out there. The devil is trying to convince us that we're not worthy, that we're not, you know, God isn't real. It's all on you. And a lot of times we let ourselves get in the way. And we need to start relying on the Holy Spirit. We need to start relying on Jesus because He lives inside of us. God's Spirit strengthens us. It empowers us. That's the all-encompassing up relationship. That's this relationship with God and Jesus that we are called to have. The second step that we are called to have is the in-relationship with other believers. That's where the unity comes in. We need, especially in relationships in our church. You see it out there. You read social media. You watch the news. You see the division that we have in this country, especially in the world. There's a lot of division. We don't agree on a lot of things. And it's okay to have disagreements about things. But as a church, as a group of people that are following God, following Jesus, we need to be united. We're stronger when we're together. And like I said, it's not just the mission of Trinity that's helping people love and follow Jesus. It's our individual mission. So here's what we need to do to become united as a church. We need to support each other. We need to care for each other. We need to teach each other. And not only biblical knowledge. We need to teach each other through our personal experiences as well. I know a lot of you in here have personal experiences. You have testimonies. You have things that God has done for you. And you need to share those things. There's amazing things that God has done for each one of you. If you keep that to yourself, you won't be able to encourage other people. We won't be able to empower other people. They need to know, especially non-believers, they need to know what God is doing in your life. And when it comes to having an in-relationship with other believers, they need to know what God is doing in your life too. They also need to know what you're struggling with, what you're going through, so they can pray for you, so they can be there for you, so they can support you, so they can care for you. I have a gentleman over here, Jeff Means. He had surgery recently. We asked for people to bring meals to him, and he told me that he would like to thank all those people that brought him meals. It really meant a lot to him. That's part of an in-relationship. That's part of unity. That's part of being together. We care for each other. We support each other. We also use our God-given gifts and talents. You know, we have people that serve in the nursery, that serve in Kids Connection, that serve at the middle schools, that greet, that do with the offering, lead small groups, are on the leadership team. That's part of togetherness as well. We use our gifts in different ways so that we can stay united. Because we're not only caring for our own spiritual growth, our own well-being, we're caring for each other's spiritual growth and well-being. And we can do that by living in response to the Holy Spirit. We can allow the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So helping each other, supporting each other, and caring for each other is helping people love and follow Jesus. We're being Jesus for other people. It's not just about our words. It's about our actions as well. And the third part of our mission is to be in an out relationship. To be in an out relationship with people who do not know Jesus. And if we're being honest, that's the one thing most of us struggle with the most. Most of us struggle with the most. I do. I struggle with that. Talking to people about Jesus. It can be awkward. It can be hard. But I can tell you this for sure. People think about God. People aren't immune to thinking about God. They have questions. They wonder about their life. They wonder about their future. They wonder about their eternity. If it's real. Is God real? Is Jesus real? Why are there so many different religions? These are questions that people have. And we have the answer. We have the truth. The truth is living inside of us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. It's a daunting task until we realize
that it's not all on us. That God will help us. That the Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. And, you know, it's hard. We don't want to ruffle feathers, right? Nobody likes being rejected. It's hard. But it takes practice. It takes time. And if you struggle with that, Pastor Leff is here, Pastor Dale is here, I'm here. There's lots of people in this church that have experience with doing that. And if you want to learn how to do that better, we're willing to help you. Here's what I love about God. He already knows that you're going to struggle. He already knows that you're going to have an awkward conversation. He sees it coming. Because he knows that the world isn't necessarily in tune with him. That a lot of people ignore him or don't want anything to do with him. So he knows. I mean, how many people hated Jesus in the 3 years that he was doing ministry? I mean, one of his own disciples betrayed him. That'll tell you that people don't want to hear what you have to say. But the Holy Spirit is with us. Here's something that may help you. It's John 3:16. Whoever believes can come to faith in Jesus. It's whoever believes. It's not necessarily your responsibility to force them to believe. It's your responsibility to give them the information, to show them Jesus through your actions, through your words. It's not your job to make them believe. So if you get rejected, that's okay. Maybe you planted a seed, right? Maybe somebody else, maybe God has somebody else in mind that's going to lead them to Jesus. So it shouldn't stop you. Just because you feel like, oh, this person has rejected me 3 times, I've tried to talk to them, they don't want anything to do with me. It's okay. It's okay. Maybe somebody else is called to do that. So I'm going to bring some more realistic motivation to you. There are other forces at play that are out of our control. It seems that people reject God for simple reasons. But the devil exists. Satan is real. And he's going to constantly try to convince people that God does not exist. That God is not real. That God cannot help them. This is an obstacle to the gospel. Sin is an obstacle to the gospel. So we have to convince them of a lot of things. So, again, it's not on you. It's not just on you. That's where unity comes in. That's where church togetherness comes in. There's lots of people out there that love Jesus, and we can all be a part of leading other people to Jesus. We can help them love and follow Jesus. I know I'm repeating myself a lot, but this is important. God is the creator of everything. He is the creator of everything. He is always present. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's glorious. He has unlimited resources. He has power. He empowers us. He strengthens us. God's love is fully embedded in our roots. God's love is rooted in us. It's not going anywhere. He gives us his fullness of life. He makes us complete. And he will accomplish infinitely more than we might ask of him. That should be comforting. That should be motivating for us. We need to be united. We need to be using his wisdom, his holiness, his love, his grace, his mercy. We need to be utilizing those things as Christians to reach people that are not in relationship with him. So we need to have solid up relationships. We need to have quality in relationships. And we need to have sometimes difficult, but well-trained out relationships. We need to be well-trained in developing an out relationship. And that's where church comes into play. For example, on a Sunday morning, a message, a sermon, somebody praying over teachers. These are things that should empower us. These are things that should show us that it's not just about us, but it's about all of us. It's about all of us. It's not about us as individuals, it's about all of us. Because how are people supposed to believe in the gospel if they see division within the church? If they see division in the world, right, and they have a certain opinion about the world, and then they see division in the church, they're going to have that same opinion about the church, right? The church isn't necessary. I've heard it. People say religion is the worst thing that happened to this world. Is that religion divides people. And it has. Throughout history, we've seen it. Thousands of years, religion has divided people. And that's where we as Christians need to change that. We need to change that. We need to be united. We need to stop gossiping. We need to stop talking about people behind their backs. We need to stop going online and not acting like Christians and saying things we shouldn't say necessarily. You know, we can say things in a way that's loving, but I see sometimes people post things that are not loving, and that's not helpful. It's not helpful. You can stand by the truth. You can preach the word of God in a loving way, in a caring way, in a respectful way, in a gracious way. Because in reality, the thing that leads people most to Christ is showing them the love of Christ. It shows them how deep, how wide, how long the love of Jesus is for them. And the world is not easy. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of sadness. And as Christians, we can be the light that outshines that darkness. We can allow the Holy Spirit to live in us, to move through us, to empower us, so that we can lead others to Jesus, so that we can help people love and follow Jesus. So I want to leave you with two questions to help you build better up in and out relationships. I want you to meditate and pray on these questions in your own time and thoroughly consider your answers to them. Who is God currently bringing into your life? Who out there is God bringing into your life? Be observant. Think about it. And two, who is God inviting you to reach? Who is God currently inviting you to reach? There's family, there's friends, there's co-workers, there's people out there that God is inviting you to reach. I don't know who it is for you. I know who it is for me. And we need to learn how to reach these people for Jesus. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable. But you can do it because you have the Spirit living inside of you. You have Jesus living inside of you. He will be there to help you. God has called us save souls. God will do the saving, but God has called us to save souls. He has called us to be a part of His plan. He has called us to build His kingdom. He has called us to be a united front against sin and evil. And has called us to be a united front to lead others to Jesus, to help people love and follow Jesus. We can do that together here at Kingdom. We can be a part of that. Because that'll bring joy to your life. That'll build your relationship with God. That'll grow your relationship with God. And all I ask of you, each of you, is just to plant seeds. Just plant seeds. Act like Jesus. Talk as if Jesus was talking through you. Be kind. Be gracious. Be loving. And you will be a major part of helping people love and follow Jesus. The last verse of Ephesians 3 says, "Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." And all God's people said, "Amen."